Good morning.
Good morning.
We'd like to, on this, the second Sunday in Advent, we'd like to welcome all of you who have gathered here for worship. It's great to see you here, that you've made your way through the snow, and we pray for the Lord's blessings upon us as we gather together with one another. As he speaks to our hearts through his word, as he also offers to us his blessings in the Holy Supper. So we will begin our worship this day with the lighting of the Advent wreath.
Okay, so a couple of you here were here last week. We talked about what this is. It's a
Advent wreath.
What are some things that you remember we talked about the Advent wreath?
The green around it.
The green, and we remember from the
growing.
Green means I am growing, right?
Oh,
what else?
The green wreath also means God's love never ends.
The circle, the wreath, when we think of, we remember that God's love never ends. The circle never ends, right? What are all these things?
Candles.
Joy.
Oh,
you're getting ahead of me. What was the candle for last week? Hope, right? So let me read to you about this week. This is the second Sunday in Advent. So last Sunday, we lit the candle, the first candle, and that was hope, remembering that the light of hope shines for us in darkness. Today, we're going to talk about peace. Peace is one of God's gifts to us. John the Baptist was a prophet calling the people of Israel to repent, to find peace with God. John also declared that it is in our actions of love and justice, that means fairness and honesty, that God's peace is shown. So may we, by our actions, by the things we do, the things we say, help prepare for the coming peace. And we also call Jesus what?
The peacemaker.
Yeah, but there's something else we talked about this morning.
The Prince of Peace.
The Prince of Peace, right. His light, Jesus, helps us find ways to share God's peace with others. Do you guys let your light shine?
Yes.
I hope you do. Every day you let your light shine. Yesterday you were here practicing for Christmas Eve. You're practicing, you're learning your words so that on Christmas Eve you can share, you can shine that light brightly for everybody that's here that's going to learn about the birth of Jesus or be reminded about it, maybe learn for the first time. Okay. Let me light the candle. So again, we're lighting the candle of peace today. We lit the candle of hope.
Yesterday.
Last week. That's right. Okay. Now, can you share your song? Let's turn around so everybody can hear your song. Ready?
Light one candle of hope. One bright candle of hope. He brings hope to every heart. He comes. Light one candle of peace, one bright candle of peace. He brings peace to every heart. He comes.
Can you fold your hands? Say a prayer with me. Dear God. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for being with us.
Help us be the light that shines.
Help us be the light that shines.
To other people.
To other people.
So they can learn.
So they can learn.
About Jesus.
About Jesus.
And is coming to the earth.
And is coming to the earth.
Is dying and rising.
Is dying and rising.
So our sins can be forgiven.
And his sins can be forgiven.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Let's join together now in singing hymn 347, Comfort, Comfort Ye My People.
Morning, neath their sorrow.
Did you notice anything different when you came to church this morning? Did you notice anything different outside? There have been some new additions to the nativity scene. Wise men, a camel, a shepherd, a sheep. All of these things, part of the Christmas story. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I share with you just a portion of the Christmas gospel from Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And we know that in the same country there were shepherds that were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And they went, because of the angel's bidding, they went to Bethlehem to see this thing that had come to pass. And so the angels praised God, and the shepherds were led by their words to come and to worship the Christ child. And we know later on a star guided the wise men to also come to worship the Christ child and to bring their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. This is the gospel of the Lord. And we think of these new figures to the nativity scene, given in memory of Joseph Schrader and in memory of Denny Meyer and Dave Meyer and Jean Giffey. And we thank the Lord for his many blessings to us. And just as the angels spoke to the shepherds to lead them to the Christ child, and the star shone to lead the wise men to the place where the child was, we pray that this nativity set will also serve as a witness to our community, that they can see it and know what really is celebrated at Christmas. The children just lit the Advent candles, and we anticipate and work our way closer to that celebration of Christmas. Let us pray. God of glory, when the set time had fully come, you sent your Son to be born of the Virgin Mary, and you made the good news of great joy about his birth known to shepherds who spread abroad the news about the Holy Child. You placed the star in the sky to lead the wise men to come and to worship that Christ child. And we pray that you would bless us as we remember his birth. Speak to our hearts with the news of his birth, and continue to renew our faith with the peace of the gospel. We ask, Lord, that these figures in the nativity scene might serve as our witness to the community of our love for you and serve as a real witness of the love that you had for us in sending your Son to be our Savior. May the message of your love be reflected in our lives and also in word and in song. We ask your blessings in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. I invite you now to please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most
merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We join together now in the responsive speaking of Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God.
And your righteousness to the royal son.
May he judge your people with righteousness.
And your poor with justice.
Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people.
And the hills in righteousness.
May he defend the cause of the poor of the people.
Give deliverance to the children of the needy and crush the oppressor.
May they fear you while the sun endures.
And as long as the moon throughout all generations.
May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass.
Like showers that water the earth.
In his days, may the righteous flourish.
And peace abound till the moon be no more.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds
through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading, which also serves as the text for our meditation today, from Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle from Romans chapter 15. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to be circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you please rise for the reading of the gospel? The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
We join together now and profess our Christian faith as we speak the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Our worship will continue with the children's message. Have a seat. It's great to see you. How are you today? I want to tell you, you guys did a really nice job before with the lighting of the Advent wreath. And if you notice with that, it reminds us, last week we lit how many candles?
One.
Next week? Or today?
Two.
And you notice we have a few more to go, don't we?
Three.
And that last one is the Christ candle, and when does that get lit?
The very last week.
Right. That's Christmas. And we've been thinking, we've been working our way toward Christmas during this holy season. And this is a time of waiting and anticipating. We're waiting to celebrate Christmas, but also Advent is a reminder that Jesus is going to be coming again as judge and king on the last day. We don't know when that's going to be. He says, only the Father knows, but yet we anxiously wait for his coming. How are you at waiting? Okay, you've been waiting for a long time for things. I brought something along that makes you think about waiting. What does that make you think about?
Christmas
and Christmas presents. And we have to wait. Maybe you have something special that you're hoping for this year. Maybe, we're just going to be thankful for everything that we are given. But we wait. And we don't know what's inside the presents until it gets unwrapped and opened. Well, the people waited a long time for God's great present. The prophet Isaiah, which was our Old Testament lesson, he talks about something coming, a righteous branch coming from the stump of Jesse. So really, he was talking about the coming of Jesus.
Nobody knows when he's
going to
come.
No, again, but we know now when he came on Christmas. But you know what? The people from Isaiah, they had to wait a long time because Isaiah said he's coming. But do you know how long it was? Isaiah was born over 700 years before Jesus. And we might think it's a long time to have to wait a couple of months. But they waited. And God, at the right time, God fulfilled his promise to us. That promise of a Messiah, a Savior. And that's really what we celebrate on Christmas. That Jesus came for us. That's all for this morning. Thanks for coming up.
Once he came in blessing, our sins redressing, came in likeness holy, Son of God most holy. O'er the cross to save us, hope and freedom give.
Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Gospel read, the Old Testament read before from Isaiah chapter 11. Just like to reread the opening verse, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. This is our text. Have you ever noticed there are two kinds of jokes? One kind makes you laugh, the other kind makes you groan. Here's a groaner. While hiking in the woods, Nate and Sam found this huge rock which had an old iron lever attached to it. And etched into that rock was the following inscription: "If this lever is pulled, the world will come to an end." Well, Nate wanted to pull the lever and see what would happen. But Sam, being a pessimist, said no. He didn't want to have anything to do with the end of the world. But he said to Nate that if he tried to pull the lever, he'd shoot him. But Nate had to find out if the warning was authentic. And Nate lunged for the lever, and sure enough, Sam shot him. What's the moral of the story? Better Nate than lever. I warned you it was a groaner. But speaking about the end of the world, what would you do if you believed that the end of the world was right around the corner? Would you get religion? Would you get drunk? Would you skip work and go golfing? Would you shop till you drop? How would you handle it? Our Bible passage for today, it's about the end times. It's about the last days on earth. It's about the closing chapters of human history. Let's set the stage for the story. The prophet Isaiah began his ministry around the year 740 BC. About 700 years before the birth of Christ. And his job was to warn the people of Judah that they would be destroyed if they didn't turn back to God. See, at that time, though, Judah was financially prosperous, but spiritually bankrupt. The judicial system was corrupt. The wealthy were taking advantage of the poor. Judah's king, Ahaz, he pretended to be a believer, but in reality, he was a power-hungry politician who turned his back on God. And as if all of this didn't make Isaiah's job hard enough, listen to this. From the very beginning of his ministry, God cautioned him that the people would not listen to him and that he would witness their destruction in spite of his hard work. How's that for motivation? You know, so what does Isaiah do in the face of such discouragement? Well, Isaiah stays true to his vision. He believes that he has seen the future. And through discouraging times, he refuses to let go. Let me ask you, have you ever had a vision, a dream, a picture of a better future? In a television interview many years ago, Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple Computer, he was asked this question. "Mr. Jobs, you've already started your next company. You must be a driven man. Is that what causes you to start companies?" And Steve Jobs looked at the reporter and says, "No, I don't feel like I'm a driven man. Thing is, I have such an exciting vision of what my team and I can accomplish that it's like I'm running toward a magnet. I have daydreams where I'm literally running toward an image of our goals. I guess you could say I'm a pulled man." Well, Isaiah was not a driven man. He was a old man. If we were to ask Isaiah, how did you keep going in the face of constant persecution? How did you stay true to your calling? Isaiah would probably echo those words of Stephen Jobs, saying, I have such an exciting vision from God. It's like I'm being pulled by a magnet. And in spite of numerous discouraging circumstances, Isaiah stays true to his vision. Stan Toler tells the story about a man during the Boer War in South Africa who was convicted of a very unusual crime. He was convicted of being a discourager. The town of Ladysmith had been under attack, and this traitor moved up and down the lines of soldiers who were defending the city, and he did everything that he could to discourage them. He pointed out the enemy's strength, the difficulty of defending against them, the inevitable capture of the city. And everywhere he went, he sowed seeds of doubt. You notice he didn't use a gun in his attack. It hadn't been necessary. His weapon was the power of discouragement. Maybe we ought to try and convict people of being discouragers. I mean, let me ask you, have you ever had a great vision for your life, some great picture of what you can do and be, and somebody comes along and whispers in your ear a word of discouragement? Fact is, it happens all the time in churches. Someone has a dream for what God would have his church be and do. And then, out of the woodwork, comes the discourager. Fact is, it's an awful thing to step on somebody's vision from God. But Isaiah stayed true to his vision. Of course, he couldn't have done that if he didn't believe that the vision was from God. I mean, if this were just some small human thing and not a God thing, Isaiah would have let go of it early on. But his vision was a magnificent vision, which could only come from God. And here's what Isaiah sees in his vision. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the kid, and a little boy will lead them. Also, the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And then it will come about in that day that the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious. Did you hear that? What a vision. What a magnificent dream. That was the power of God. That was the power behind that vision that God gave to Isaiah. That's what allowed him to look further than what his eyes could see. In the last days, God reveals to Isaiah all the nations of the world will unite in peace and a mutual desire to know the Lord and walk in his ways. No injustice, because the Lord himself will be their judge. There will be peace among all peoples, and the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid. Imagine, all peoples will live in unity and justice and peace. Why? Because the Lord himself will live among them. What a magnificent dream. In the Broadway play, The Man of La Mancha, Don Quixote is near death. And all his life, people have mocked him for his positive attitude. He's the type of person who could turn any lemon, no matter how sour, into the finest lemonade. But yet other people scorned his visions. In his self-defense, Don Quixote asked this question: who's crazy? Am I crazy because I see the world as it could become? Or is the world crazy because it only sees itself as it is? You know, I think that's the eternal question that the prophet is asking. Am I crazy because I see the world as it could become? Or is the world crazy because it only sees itself as it is? And the prophet's blessing and curse is to be given a vision of the world as it could become. In the midst of chaos, God blesses Isaiah with a vision of a future hope. And if Isaiah didn't believe that his vision was from God, he could never have stuck it out. And the key to Isaiah's great vision of the future, the birth of a little child. Even though Isaiah lived more than seven centuries before the birth of Christ, he gives us the clearest picture of the Messiah in the whole Old Testament. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Earlier in chapter 7, Isaiah also declares, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel, God with us. You see, God had a plan for the people of Israel and Judah. He wasn't guaranteeing them immediate peace and prosperity, but he gave them a glimpse of his awesome, ultimate plan for the restoration of Israel and the salvation of the world. Someday, according to Isaiah's vision, God will come and live among us, and his face will no longer be hidden from his people. Can you see the vision? The world will be changed because of the birth of a tiny babe. Isaiah had a vision from God, a vision of the world as it could be, realized when the hearts of people like you and me, when we're opened to be a manger where the Christ child can dwell. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay
in peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For God's covenant people, that he would teach them to remember his wondrous works and to seek his strength and presence, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Gracious Lord, as we bring our offerings today, we ask your blessing upon them, that they might be used by your church to proclaim your word to a world living in darkness. Lord, work in the hearts and lives of those who hear us, who hear it. Gracious God, give us courage to speak Christ to the nations and to teach those still in darkness and death about his gift of light and life, and that God would keep us from being ashamed of his gospel or intimidated by the opinions of others. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who grow in the faith, that God's word of encouragement and instruction in endurance would cause them to abound in hope. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For families, that they would faithfully fulfill their vocations to love and to forgive one another, even as they grow in the fear, love, and trust of the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For civil authorities, that they would govern with justice and righteousness as leaders appointed by God to protect the innocent, punish the wicked, and work for the common welfare of all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are afflicted in body or mind, especially we remember Don and Alice, Margaret and Bernetta, Bill and Gary, Bryston and Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy and Heather, Gary and Michael, Ray and Chelsea, Norma and Ron, Vicky and Jama, Judy and Joni, Kyle and Sarah, Marilyn and Renee, Michelle and Sandy, and all of those others, Lord, who we raise up before you in our hearts, that your peace and blessing would be upon them. We pray, O Lord, for all who commune this day, that their hearts would be stirred up to make ready the way of the Lord Jesus, who comes in his body and blood. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord God, Heavenly Father, grant us all things needful and keep us from all things harmful to us and to our salvation, that with confidence in your will, we may say amen to our prayers and live in contentment and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hope and might,
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross.
Amen.
We join together in praying.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of all sin. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Would you please rise?
Let us now thy servant depart in peace, according to
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May you take with you now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We join in our closing hymn, 344.